Blog Talk Radio.
Start spreading the news. The Eagles just beat the Pats. They made a brand new start of it. Philly beat the Pats. They beat the Pats. I'm happy because, ladies and giblets, Wrestle Radio has moved to Monday through Wednesdays. I'm not just setting on one date because here's the deal. I realize I have some wrestling to cover for you today. Tomorrow, we have a special guest by the name of Mikey McNeely. And he will be on from 4:05 Central Standard Time until the show is over. It's only going to be an hour long because I made my way to Kansas City. And I will be watching SmackDown Live. Hopefully it's a good show. I saw that on Kansas City's weather radar, it's going to be really bad. Anyways, long story short, I got a lot of wrestling for you to cover. No, I'm just going to keep it simple, keep it basic, because, well, it's a lot easier for you guys, the listeners, to follow. First and foremost, congratulations to the Philadelphia Eagles, who were victorious over the New England Patriots, 41-33 in Minneapolis. Were there ups? Were there downs? Yeah, but the Eagles won. That's all that matters. I'm happy. Can't stand the Patriots. They, you know, were the dynasty of football, kind of like how some people can't stand certain people like Roman Reigns or John Cena. See what I did there? I tied it back in. Now, Kenny Omega is going one-on-one with Cody Rhodes. A lot of you have been asking on Instagram, and also I've been looking under the questions. That's Wrestle_Radio for those of you curious to know. Kenny Omega basically tried to play peacemaker. Cody Rhodes wasn't having it. And now Kenny Omega goes one-on-one with Cody Rhodes. This match, is it going to top Jericho versus Omega? I would beg to differ because Super Card of Honor, you start to wonder, folks, will Kenny Omega make the jump to WWE? Or is it just hearsay? And that's not the only reason why I'm covering this match, because Jericho and Omega was beautiful. Do you know why? It told a story, something that most wrestling matches fail to do nowadays. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. It all depends on how you view the wrestling world as a whole. Some of you are very picky, like me. I know what I like, and I know what I'm going to pinpoint when I discuss this stuff with you guys, okay? It just so happens that Kenny Omega, he has not one, not two, not three, not four, but many accolades. Cody Rhodes obviously comes as a legacy. Some of you are saying, well, now I'm starting to see why the WWE was complacent with Cody. I know I'm giving background, but I got to give a little satire to this because here it is. Actually, no. Satire is not the correct using or phrasing of the word. Here it is, folks. Kenny Omega versus Cody Rhodes. Probably one of the biggest matches of the year. Maybe not as big as Jericho and Rhodes. Or not Jericho Rhodes. That'd be a good match again. Although, again, are we referring to WWE? Or again, are we hoping that they face each other again? Okay. Thank you for clearing that up, my friend. I was just reading a question, folks, from the Instagram section, which has been really buzzing today because they wonder, co-host, that job isn't cursed because I need someone consistent. I am getting someone in March. He does have a plethora of knowledge about pro wrestling, can share his viewpoints. Though he is not well known in the business, I can give you a hint. It's not somebody from ECW. It's not somebody that I just picked up off the street. It's actually somebody that I bumped into and started a conversation about wrestling, and here I am. I found him. He's going to be debuting in March. So anyways, aside from the co-host, banter. Cody Rhodes versus Kenny Omega. What is the to what do we as fans owe the pleasure of having this happen? As I said, certain events happened. Omega tried to be Peacemaker, and now Cody Rhodes wants nothing to do with that. So there you have it, folks. You have Cody Rhodes going one-on-one with Kenny Omega. Is there even a bigger backstory to this? The club is expanding. Yeah, we all know that. It's always been worldwide and not just WWE. And to clarify a few things, folks, you can chant how you want to chant. You can cheer how you want to cheer. But when Marty Scurll is not present, to those of you doing it in the E, that's why we're laughing, or some of us are laughing at some of you, because some of the smarks, you guys, too sweet. Whoop, whoop. The whoop, whoop part is Marty Scurll. It's specified for him. So, Oda Real, please pay attention. Because some of you are just doing it because you hear, you know, Ring of Honor folk do it, and you see New Japan, but you're really not paying attention. So, just please, that's all I ask. Because I know I can't control stupid, obviously. But I'm going to get back on subject here before I get too off the beaten path, and that is Kenny Omega versus Cody Rhodes. What are my thoughts right quick about the whole situation? I don't know. That match, these are the matches that you don't have a prediction sheet on, because for those of us who can capture the moment, or relish in the moment, instead of, yeah, here goes another victory by John Cena again. Yep, we saw that coming with Roman. See the difference in my tone of voice? With Omega and Rhodes, you're going to have a lot of false finishes. You're going to have a lot of back and forth. Hell, you might even see Cody pay homage to his daddy by bleeding during the match, because the Rhodes... Dusty Rhodes was famous for making the match so over the top. Some of his matches were basic. A lot of elbows, a lot of forearms, a lot of elbow drops, a lot of stuff that you thought a big man couldn't do, but he did. So, Cody Rhodes has a legacy behind him. What is Omega's legacy in wrestling thus far? IWGP, anybody? I mean, the laundry list of accolades for Kenny Omega is quite extensive. You saw him in the background the last time with AJ Styles, and he's clapping. Yay, congratulations, you won. Cody Rhodes just flipped the script. Bye. Because it's wrestling. In wrestling, you won't get too much predictability out of what you already know. But what I can, from what I can tell you guys, is this: always understand that when there's a build between two individuals, like Omega, like Rhodes, you're gonna get a match. Unlike last week, when we all were duped, hey, we got a good Royal Rumble, but the payoff was John Cena beating an already skilled Finn Balor. I'm not understanding that, gentlemen. I'll get to that later, off the rails Monday edition, because that's what I do. But so far, it looks like Kenny Omega is going to put on another hell of a show. He's going to put on another decent match. I can't describe to you how proud I am of the match between him and Jericho, because I sat down, I watched on YouTube the whole thing from start to finish. The part where they go over to the announce table, they're beating the crap out of each other. Now, a lot of you are wondering about Jericho and Naito, or Nito, however you say his name. Jericho bangs to the beat of his own drum. His name is going to be forever etched in history as, yes, I did this. Yes, I was a part of it. And yes, I'm the first son of a bitch to win the Undisputed Championship. I am the first guy who's a free agent. You know, what can the others say in WWE? Come on. They let him roam for a reason. He's specifically a decent wrestler because he can work. Just like Cody Rhodes, you know, was overlooked in WWE, but still questioned. And that drives Cody. That drives Cody probably to it motivates him. It motivates him to have a, not an over-the-top match, but a match that'll make people go, damn, we want to watch this over and over again. I believe that when you turn on the tube and you see different things, you only have the option of El Rey Network if you have it, or you can watch WWE, and that's the only option we have for wrestling. Is there other options? Sure. There's Evolve, there's CZW, there's PCW, there's Ring of Honor, but you have to watch it on a separate network. I wonder if the quality of this match is going to be in question, because some people believe, well, Cody's, you know, kind of the carbon copy of The Miz. He gets compared a lot to The Miz. I think they're two different individuals, to be quite honest, because The Miz, cookie cutter heel, who gets a lot of credit for going over the top. And I say that nicely because you won't find another guy in WWE to push someone like a Samoa Joe, like The Miz, a New Day, or Jimmy and Jey Uso, because these guys work. There's a subtle difference between like and dislike. And let me tell you, the likes are starting to pile up for the independents again. Not just for names like Matt Riddle, names like Keith Lee, names like Brittany, Blake, JT Davidson, Jesse Havoc, Sammy Callahan. I can name names all you want, but you know what? Here's the deal. There's a difference between name dropping and actually seeing these people in action. I haven't seen Brittany Blake in action, but I sure as hell have seen JT Davidson on multiple occasions through Evolve, Wrestling Revolver. I've seen my fair share of Ring of Honors, but I will tell you this right now, folks. If there's one thing I can guarantee you about Kenny Omega and Cody Rhodes, it's they're not just names that people can name drop. These are names that are going to be etched in wrestling history. Omega has been brought up on my show. Does that make him, you know, all the more special because I say something about his in-ring ability, his ability to promo, his ability to draw a crowd in? Kenny Omega is something special because why? He has turned down WWE. Does that make him special? No. What makes him special is how he's able to present his style of show and not be ashamed of it. Because certain guys, I feel they're cookie-cuttering it because they have no choice. And this is just personal observation. You kind of have to cookie-cutter it if you want a career somewhere. It's just like life. If you want to move forward in life, you can't really say how you feel. You just have to swallow your pride and just go with the flow. Because as soon as you start bellyaching, griping, bitching, you see how long that lasts. And what am I referring to? Cody Rhodes, you know, there's a lot of reports about him that you see in the dirt sheets, that you read about, you hear about, you listen to a podcast, you hear him speak about his departure. He didn't leave on bad terms. He just decided, hey, I'm not going anywhere. I'm actually going to put on good shows and show the fans that saw me what they're missing out on. I mean, look at the comments that people give under his Twitter, not just his Twitter handle, but his Instagram. If that's not clue enough, folks, I mean, look, the WWE is taking trends from the indies. Intergender matches. They made it into a mixed match challenge. And for those of you who don't realize that there were intergender matches before the E put it into effect, all I can tell you guys is just do your research. Because I'm not going to sit here and rag on you for not watching it. They're the casual fans anywhere and everywhere that don't know about Kenny Omega other than he is a part of the club. And his shirt is outselling some of the Bullet Club. It's outdoing most of what people cannot do in the simple regular club, and that's, okay, the Balor Club. You wonder how those guys feel. They're watching guys like Omega, guys like Cody Rhodes succeeding. Now, here comes Cody Rhodes, yeah. He helped bolster up some of the Bullet Club. There's a lot that can be said about this upcoming match between the two of these guys. Will it be one to bring the house down? You bet your ass it will be. I'm giving logistics because I don't have much background on these two. Well, Cody Rhodes, there's no excuse. Omega, here and there I would see him. And I realize, you know, he's a junior heavyweight champion of IWGP. Guys, Kenny Omega just put on one hell of a match with Jericho. To the certain extent that I can inform you that my personal take on Jericho versus Omega, you want my personal take on it? I just told you. It was a beautiful match. So much to the point so where I want to sit down and actually rewatch it so that I can pay attention. They said, well, how can you miss that match? Was busy planning, you know, different things in my life because, you know, you're an adult. You got different shit you got to do. Anyways, my personal take on it was I would love to see it. I would have loved to have seen it in person because seeing it where I saw it, where I sat from my house in Brooklyn watching, my aunt goes, who's those guys and why are they bleeding? Can't explain to non-wrestling fans how this shit works. But you can, even she sat down and was intrigued by it. That's how good this was. My aunt never watches pro wrestling. She did talk to me a few days ago about Rousey. But I've never seen her sit down and watch a wrestling match like she did. So you can guarantee if Kenny Omega, my opinion on him, that was the second question, Kyle, was that it? My opinion on Kenny Omega is, wow. He's a gem. He is a gem. He's a diamond in the rough. To furthermore expand this whole new happening, folks, that is all for the Kenny Omega versus Cody Rhodes discussion. I'm going to skip right into the advertisements. For those of you wishing to sign up for Monster Factory Super Camp, you can do so on monsterfactory.org. That is monsterfactory.org. Contact Danny Cage ASAP for further information via email or via text message. The camp is April 20th and 21st. You do not have to attend both days, but I would suggest you do. For those of you wanting to sign up for wrestling school, look no further than monsterfactory.org. You can do this. You can do it, folks. Those of you who still have a bright future, and not just the power of muscles, but the willingness to learn, sign up for Danny Cage's Monster Factory, folks. It is an amazing school. It's the same school that trained Sheamus, NXT Steve Cutler, Women of Honor, Gabby Martinez, Punishment Martinez, Ring of Honor. The list goes on and on. This is the same factory. He didn't train these folks, but Godfather, Pretty Boy Larry Sharp was one of the trainers there. D'Lo Brown, King Kong Bundy, Scott Vita, John Cone. So do him a favor, sign up for the school, and go from there. Speaking of wrestling schools, if you would like to sign up to schools in the Midwest, you can Google search Brave for Black. You will also find NWO. For NWO, you can go to their website at nwoleague.com. Make sure you sign up today. If you are interested, go to NWO League, set up an appointment for an official tryout and tryout time. As NWL TPC is located in North Kansas City, Missouri, for further address information, type on Google. You have Google Maps, Waze, whatever roadmap app you would like to use to get to the school and make your dreams come true today. If you'd like to kick cancer square in the ass, please visit these two websites at susangcomen.org. Fight the good fight against cancer. Cure for Connor. You can find that on the WWE website. The link to the website and the story behind Connor is found on YouTube or the WWE website. Speaking of WWE, if you would like to sign up before WrestleMania for WWE Network instead of catching the dirt sheets, I suggest you go to WWE.com. Click on the Network tab. Sign up with a valid username, which is your email address and your password. Furthering that subscription, you can use your valid debit or credit card. It will charge you $10.99 for the first month because the first month you get free, but if you're already a pre-existing subscriber, to renew it, it'll be $10.99. They take the dollars just to see how much you have in your bank, folks. I am not shitting you. Anyways, you can pick up the preloaded cards from WWE. Should be $24.97 for 3 months. If you'd like to order those on the shop, I warn you, they do have a shipping handling fee of $6.99 for standard, $16.99 or $17.99 for 4 to 6 days. And for next day shipping, it is $21.99. For further information, please contact the shop on WWE.com. All right. Now, let's turn up the juice, shall we? Time for some fun, folks. Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cost was something I would be. I know your anger, I know your dreams. I've been everything you wanna be. Oh, I'm the cost of something I would be. I sometimes like to finish lyrics to songs. It's one of my things. Folks, Monday Night Raw emanates from Des Moines, Iowa. A friend of mine is actually at the show, will be at the show. We will hope that Monday Night Raw turns out better than what it was last week. It's actually the new format, your thing, your guys' thing, because I'd like to know thoughts, questions, concerns, hopes, dreams, destroyed. I mean, I'm just kidding. So Monday Night Raw emanates from Des Moines, Iowa. We're going to see firsthand if it's a good show or not. If not, you will hear me gripe, bitch, moan, and complain as usual about things that could have been better. Last week wasn't bad. I mean, I actually enjoyed listening to the promos. I enjoyed watching Braun Strowman is, you know, a treat because he's kind of like a better version of Big Show. Big Show is awesome, but what I'm saying to you is, holy balls, Finn Balor versus John Cena. I guess they're giving a 75 and now 25. 25%, meaning the fans who actually tune in and watch Monday Night Raw every week say, this needs to improve, that needs to improve. It's kind of a lose-lose situation. You have to really pay attention to a programming that is Monday Night Raw because Elimination Chamber is coming up. Asuka may not be facing Alexa Bliss after Elimination Chamber. It is the very first Elimination Chamber match for the women, and it happens to be on Monday Night Raw side of things. I don't know if SmackDown Live would benefit from having an Elimination Chamber match. I mean, those women are pretty intense. All the women are pretty intense, to be quite honest with you. They did just have the very first Women's Royal Rumble. WWE as a whole right now, WrestleMania 34 is starting to look really decent. The card, that is, for now. One match thus far has been made, and you'll see. You'll see it later on, folks. The Hall of Fame inductions will start to pick up. NXT, I'm so fucking proud to be a fan of NXT. I started watching them back probably not in 09. That's a fucking lie. 2010, 2011, when Hideo Itami was still around and Sami Callihan was Solomon Crowe. Didn't really start picking it up until round 12 or 13 because you got talents like Bayley started coming in and Sasha Banks and all of that. Now you got Cian Almas Andrade, who's feuding with Johnny Gargano. It's a pretty good feud. Then Tommaso Ciampa's just returned. TM61 has come back. The card overall for NXT I'm happy with. Roderick Strong facing off against Pete Dunne. I wonder if any of you guys have paid attention to Pete Dunne versus Tyler Bate. For those of you who don't have a clue what I'm referring to, NXT is the side of the company that has had some ups and downs because of injuries, Ember Moon being one of them. But she's made a good comeback. Look at her. She's champion, although I think Nikki Cross is more deserving of the title, not her. It's not up to me. I think Ember's a great competitor. I just think she's boring as fuck because she's way too over the top sometimes. How can you be over the top? I'll refer to this discussion later, but like I said, WrestleMania 34 is starting to look up and up. Paige can't work anymore, so no sweat off anybody's brow, really. Why the hate on Paige, you may ask? I don't necessarily hate her. I just, the way that she came back, of Absolution. WWE tends to rip concepts off of their concepts and think that the fans won't pay attention. Really. At this point, I'm going to tell you right now, the WWE, as a creative side of things, when they brought in Absolution, and this is just Monday Night Raw, my take on them tonight's going to be, I hope for the best. I hope it's the same format as last week, where there was less promos and more action, but then again, some of them think it's really funny despite the fans because they're so out of touch. Michael P.S. Hayes. Watch Table for Three if you don't believe what I'm saying. Watch exactly what he says. And then sit the fans who don't watch that shit, sit them down in a room and watch what goes down, because why WWE does things the way they do on one side of the spectrum. On the other side of the spectrum, you have people who created some really good stuff, like Jamie Noble. The builds between Shawn Michaels and Undertaker, folks, for those of you who do their research extensively through dirt sheets, Jamie Noble was responsible for why WrestleMania 22 was a culmination of a lot of things. Between Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker, you have two different people in two different spectrums. So, all this right now, everything's been one big clusterfuck right now because you just had the Women's Royal Rumble. You're about to have the Tag Team Championships be decided at WrestleMania, quite possibly. You have Matt Hardy feuding with Bray Wyatt. Hopefully it doesn't go too stale, and hopefully, you know, we don't have a neuralizer put in our face going, hey, you guys have never seen this before. And I'm not apologizing, because here's the thing. If I want a job with WWE, it's one simple step of going directly to their front door and saying, hey, can I have a job? No, it doesn't quite work like that, folks. Why I'm reviewing them before they even have a show, because my thought process is like this. When you watch the product as a fan and they give you what they want, or give you, the fan, what we want, they turn around and put John Cena in Elimination Chamber. It's not the end of the world, but we all knew it had to come to a head because you can't keep a big name out like that. That's the way I look at it. It doesn't necessarily mean I'm a Cena mark. What it does mean is you have to think, how are they going to fill seats for Elimination Chamber? Finn Balor's name could definitely have filled seats, but maybe it took a different turn because there's still three other slots that may be remaining. So may have jumped the gun, may have felt like, damn it, this happened again. Thankfully, the Pats lost, and thankfully, some other team won. The Eagles won. What does this have anything to do with wrestling? Well, the Patriots be like John Cena. They always win. They always win in big game situations. They always go to the Super Bowl, just like John Cena always gets himself into a title picture. Finn Balor is kind of like the Eagles. Suffered through a lot of heartbreak and a lot of losses. And then, bada boom, he finds himself possibly in another title match. It might be for the Intercontinental Championship. You don't know. But the way things are shaping up for WrestleMania, you can already see. You can see the nucleus of what WWE wants to do. In certain ways, in some ways, you really can't. How can you see the nucleus of what they're trying to portray as a company? The IC title was dropped conveniently right before the Royal Rumble, right? Now Roman's name might be in the title picture. I'm not surprised. A lot of fans are upset that John Cena may be facing Lesnar at WrestleMania. I don't know. I thought for Roman Reigns being handed the torch that we had seen the last of John Cena. Then again, you know what? I thought wrong, because we are given a Royal Rumble, a decent Royal Rumble outcome. Ronda Rousey shows up at the end of the Women's Royal Rumble. Shinsuke Nakamura, all the hard work he put in through years and years of work at New Japan. Now he's champion, or soon to be champion, against AJ Styles. or wins the championship, I should say, off of AJ, that would be the story where I would jump up for joy and say, hey, is somebody deserving? Not the story at WrestleMania 34 where Cena goes one-on-one with Brock Lesnar. To the casual fan, that's going to be, yay, John Cena wins again. I just have shirked it off because, honestly, devoting my time and hatred or dislike or discord with one person isn't quite going to fold well. Because, like I said, you want explanation as to why things are the way they are in the landscape of professional wrestling, you sit there and you watch Table for Three. Because it will go in detail as to why the landscape of WWE is the way it is. You want so many people to come to the Trent Seven gang. You wonder why the expansion of the company is happening. It's because Triple H has taken what Vince has done in helping expanding into the worldwide world of sports and making it more than just entertainment, but giving the fans different flavors of wrestling. Strong style, UK, intergender. And I know some of my friends, you know, they cater and pander to the indies because the indies is more realistic. The indies is their type of fandom. I have nothing against that. I just happen to be an all-arounder because I like reporting stuff that makes sense. And what makes sense to me is not just being one-sided with, oh, you know, the independents, this is actual wrestling. I'm going to discuss that because I've reported enough wrestling for now because, quite frankly, the WWE has kind of, you know, they've fallen off a little bit, then they got back on the horse. You know, signing Rousey was huge. The social media blew up. The media blew up about this in general. But what I'm saying is, you know, you start posting shit like, I watch this because this is actual wrestling. I pay attention because for those who say they don't want to make it to the WWE, you're lying off your ass unless you're really fucking sincere about that shit. The WWE should not be your ultimate goal. That's a different statement and a different phrase on a whole different kind of level. But to say you don't want to work for the E because they always manage to fuck things up, that's kind of stupid. Because then you just severed ties already. I'm not directing this at anybody, but it kind of, well, actually, you know me, I don't stray away from telling it like it is. Whenever somebody releases a statement on Facebook, you don't think they pay attention to that? Or whenever you make certain videos, you don't think someone's going to leak that later? It really frustrates the piss out of people when you tell them this is how, you know, I view wrestling. Because much like on Facebook discussions and the groups in there, people think they're hot shit. And here's my thing. I don't follow trends, and I don't intend to. I look at them, and I, you know, obviously report them. Obviously, I wouldn't be a good broadcast journalist if I didn't say what the hot button issues are. Now, when I talk about issues concerning wrestling such as Enzo Amore, I don't have to look far because Yahoo News, CNN, ESPN, a bunch of news places covered that issue. In regards to his WWE career, it finally come to an end because he was being, you know, a complete douche canoe. Is that judging somebody? You know, he's a real nice person when we met him in the backstage area at Sprint Center. But I guess his peers didn't think highly of him. You know, you never wish ill things upon people, but you just watch things take effect. Much like, you know, you watch people on social media trying to judge character or post things about certain issues. It's like, you know, I get that therapy costs a lot and you got to pay through insurance. But wrestling as a whole right now, not just WWE, has become extremely judgy, if you will, very close-circled, and the one person that can expand that, actually there's more, I refer to this person as the wrestling therapist. And he may not shun that, but he's like, I am not a therapist. I'm just a helpful advice giver. Brutal Bob, Uncle Bob, as I like to refer to him, will tell you, what are you doing? What is your purpose? And how are you serving? You don't have to give an essay long explanation. But if you're going to sit there and pander to the indies, go ahead. Pander to the fucking indies. They are more than just one person executing a vision of a company. And I appreciate them because I was a part of it. I'm glad that I took a step back and realized, okay, what's my purpose? What's my role? What is my goal in wrestling? See, if you don't have a direct, clear-cut vision, that doesn't necessarily mean it's the end of the line for some of you. Some of you believe that you're hot shit and your shit don't stink. And the reason why I say this is because it really bugs me to get into, you know, go to wrestling and you are around certain guys and gals that feel, hey, I don't need to change a thing about my gimmick. I don't need to change a thing about who I am. I've been around a few people like that. And here's my take on it. They're not paying my bills. They're not making me less of a person. So I really shouldn't give a fuck. But when I read stuff like, I'm going to watch this back when wrestling was actually wrestling, you got to adjust with the times. There are people in this world that go to watch wrestling now, and they just do it because, oh, my kids enjoy it. So I'm going to do, you know, the best of time to enjoy myself and not think any twice of it. Or those who got back into the wrestling, they're really, really into it, and they have a good time. Are we going to fault people for enjoying wrestling, even if it is WWE? The company that has been known by their fans because they know that people are going to come back and watch it anyways. Is that up to us? No. The reason why I called out Michael Hayes is because here's the thing. He's a man that's been in the business a long time. He's a man that's gained the respect of a lot of his peers. He's in the Fabulous Freebirds. And is that the extent that I know of his career? He had a lot of good matches. That's not why I'm upset with him. I'm just disappointed in certain ways that things are done. But you know what? It's out of my control. Michael knows what he's doing. He's got to communicate to majority of the wrestling world because he's one of the co-producers, one of the head producers, head honchos at WWE. The reason why I snap is because there's a lot of discord from some of the fan base that sees where it's going. But we can't complain just as the moment because take a look at what's been presented so far. Did Michael Hayes have anything to do with the Royal Rumble outcomes? I don't know. But what I do know is what bugs me is you could have given opportunity to those who worked their ass off instead of going to a movie set and appearances. Is that John Cena's fault? No. Roman Reigns, good person. He's got a good, with good intentions. But really, what was the point of giving the fans John Cena versus Roman Reigns 2.0? It was a hard match to get through. It was a hard match to watch. But you know what? I found ample time enough on my cell phone not to pay attention to the match. I did rewatch it so I could say something about it. But what I'm saying is, from a creative perspective, I really like the fact that Joey Mercury and Jamie Noble are sitting in the back with Armstrong going over shit, because here's what I can tell you. I don't dabble in politics. Does that make me a better person than a person who does dabble and discuss politics? No. It does make me it makes me aware of my surroundings by reading, by looking at facts, looking at the crowd's reaction. Comparatively speaking, from Raw's last week to the Royal Rumble before that Raw, Royal Rumble was probably the most productive week or productive pay-per-view in a long while, because it sets the table for a lot of things, folks, for a lot of things. One of those things happens to be Asuka versus whomever is going to become champion, maybe Nia Jax, perhaps. Maybe they finally put the strap on Nia. Again, I'm not so mad about certain outcomes because I realize that's out of my control. I'm not in the back with the boys, but the reason why I call it Michael Hayes is because it bugs me. It bugs me because, you know, I've been through the process of seeing how a show works, the innards of it, but I'm not going to say how, when, what, why, where, because you all do your research anyways. Wrestling is to be enjoyed. It's to be, because you're a fan, right? You're not working. You're not going on the road. You're not sacrificing as much as these guys are. It's to be enjoyed, right? It's up to you. It's up to you. That's how you're going to view tonight's Monday Night Raw, because this Raw, tomorrow night's SmackDown Live, it's going to set the table. It's going to make sure you have all the plates and chinaware, silverware on the table in order for you to have a decent WrestleMania. It's one of the biggest productions of the entire wrestling world, aside from WK in Japan, and also Final Battle in Ring of Honor. So where do I stand as a wrestling fan? Is that the question you're asking me? Well, to be quite honest, Caleb, where I stand as a wrestling fan is this. If I like you, I like you. If I don't like you, you're going to know. Some people really don't like to say how they feel because they're non-confrontational people. Honestly, folks, you know me. I don't shy away from controversy. I don't shy away, controversy that'll make good broadcasting. I don't shy away from letting people know exactly how things went down. In my observation of certain things, like last year was a train wreck, to be honest with you. As far as pay-per-views go, the only things that were highlighted, in my opinion, were NXT takeovers. Because, as I said, those are they're saving graces to wrestling. There's always a silver lining, right? So if you don't like one thing, you can be free to choose who you like, what you like. What you dislike, that can get old. I didn't really like when John Cena won the championship. Fuck that shit. We all gripe about him. I'm guilty of it. He's a nice guy. I've met him in person a couple times, but other times, he stiffed me for a few autographs. That happens. What I'm getting at is, really, if you don't have any concrete reasoning as to why you dislike wrestling as a fan, and you just give off, he does the five moves of doom, and I can't stand Roman Reigns because it's the same offense, cordial enough to say, Be fucking deeper with that shit. Dig deep and find reasons as to why you dislike somebody. It has to be either a personal reason why you have discord with Cena and Reigns, or a personal discord why you have discord with Sasha Banks, because I have some personal discord with her, but I've gotten over it. Because she makes money. Why the fuck should she care if somebody reports her as being rude? It's like a job. You go to a job that you love. You wake up every morning and you say, man, I'm thankful that I have this job. It's all up to you. It can be at Sam's Club. It can be at Nebraska Furniture Mart. It can be at Costco. Doesn't matter. Because you will find people that are very, very rude. It's all how you deal with them. And they'll have more respect for you because you'll tell them to their face. Not your boss, of course. Definitely not your boss. But it'll be to the point where I honestly want to just... It'll be to the point where you think, okay, now I do have a rhyme of respect for the way B-Train does stuff. This, you know, that's what I'm saying, is where I stand as a wrestling fan is I like it. Sometimes I love it and want some more of it. But other times it'll just be like, okay, back to the drawing board. It's not healthy to be consistently, you know, all the time negative, but it's also not healthy not to, you know, be honest with who and not be honest with how you feel. And also not be honest with, okay, too much honesty. Is there such a thing? Yeah, in some cases there is, because sometimes it can get you in trouble and sometimes it can actually be a help. And other times, not so much. Through all this mumbo-jumbo, what I'm trying to say is wrestling as a whole right now, it's up in the air. It's how you view it. Because I'm not going to be the one to sit there and be like, okay, well, obviously, this person really gave their all. They really tried. What I'm going to tell you is, don't sit there and gripe and bellyache and moan about certain things that are out of your control. Be honest with yourself. Don't be dishonest about it. There's going to be people that sit there and say, well, wrestling, I thought was so fucking boring. Why do you even care? If you're the one who, you know, if you're going to critique us, if you're going to be mean about it, then don't be our friends. That's the question you wanted me to answer on Instagram, is what do you think of people, my friends say that wrestling is boring anyways, why should I give it a chance? Well, you should give wrestling a chance because it's not something that you can just throw, tuck away and say, oh, it sucks, so I'm just going to not watch it. Oh, boy. I'm reading some of your questions right now about what you think about wrestling. I'll go in more in depth of that on the Off the Rails Uncensored, or Uncensored tomorrow special edition, because here's the thing, guys. Right now, reporting stuff about Monday Night Raw is not on my agenda. Why? Because look at Braun Strowman. Look at Alexa Bliss. They're holding the fort down with Asuka and Sasha Banks and Bayley and so many other people. Then you have, on the other end of the spectrum, you've got Kenny Omega. You've got Cody Rhodes. You've got Keith Lee. You have so many big names that aren't really being Matt Riddle, which, you know, all of you who are familiar with that name, he's also one of the first graduates of Danny's Monster Factory. But big names on the other end of the spectrum that are being overlooked, and they're not being portrayed as heroes or villains. They're just be like, who's that? They're the who's who of wrestling. I'm sure everyone knows the name Chris Jericho. I'm pretty sure people are familiar with the name Chris Jericho. They're not unfamiliar with it. But if you like more in-depth analysis, you can join tomorrow's show. It's only going to be an hour and 20 minutes long, because in 20 minutes I can definitely do an off the rails. Yep, I can definitely do an off the rails if you wish, if you so choose. Enter at your own risk is what I'm going to tell you. Enter at your own risk. Oh, no, no, no. See, here's my thing, folks. If you want an in-depth analysis, you can watch ESPN about certain things, certain issues. If you want my show, it covers pretty much the majority of what's going on, what's the hot button issues of wrestling, the hot topics, the topics that people can't stop discussing. Because Wrestle Radio, we don't just report, here's what happened at this event, and this is, no, we're not blasé, we're not boring as fuck, we're not your stereotypical podcast that does, you know, live feeds on Facebook, which, yeah, eventually I'll fall prey to victim. I'm sorry, I was reading some TLC lyrics on my memes. I won't follow trends. I'll report some of them if they're in, you know, interesting or intriguing. But that's going to wrap it up for today's show on Monday. I'll get more crazy on Tuesday, don't worry. When am I not psychotic? Thank you, Eagles. Thank you for beating the Cheatriots. Oh, and have a nice day, night, whatever. If you don't believe in what I'm telling you, is my name is Brian Rails, and I got three choice words for you. Forget about it. Look in my eyes. What do you see? The cost of something I would be.